Once again, your presence is indicative of your innocent things divine, and we're glad to have you in this Lord's Day morning service. Keith read for you from the famous John 15. I'd like to just read a few of those verses once again, because we'll be talking about this in the lesson. I am the vine and the true vine, and ye are the branches, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. Very provocative parable of the Lord over 2,000 years ago. I want to tell you a little thing I heard this last week, because it reflects in this John 15. I didn't know this before, but way back over 40 years ago, Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong were catapulted 240,000 miles through space, and in July the 20th, I believe, 1969, they set their feet on the moon. Now, some folks claim that that never could be done, and there are people today who actually deny that it ever happened. But I think most of us understand that they actually made it to the moon. Buzz Aldrin did something that I didn't know, and the news media didn't report it, because it had to do with God and it had to do with spiritual matters. He was an elder in a church down in Texas and believed in the communion, which we have observed, of course, the communion here on the first day of the week. And his preacher prepared him just a little bit of grape juice and some unleavened bread, and he stuck it down in his pocket. And that traveled all the way to the moon. One of the first things that Buzz did after he had planted the American flag on the moon was to observe what he called the communion. He said he wanted to do that. He took that unleavened bread out of his pocket, and he ate it, and he drank the fruit of the vine, and he told how that in outer space, where there's no gravity, how that the fruit of the vine, the fluid kept rising up, which of course it would up there. And he observed what he considered the communion on the moon. And then he opened the New Testament, and he read from our text in John 15, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. Without me, ye can do nothing. So believe it or not, our text for today has been read on the moon. Not only did he observe the communion in his own way, of course, of the Lord, but he read from this famous text, which we have this morning, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, and every branch in me that beareth fruit he taketh away, every branch in me that beareth not fruit he taketh away, but every branch that beareth fruit he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. You know, ladies and gentlemen, this took place near the Sea of Tranquility on the moon, as was indicated. The reason the press hadn't said anything about this, or very little, is they don't want anything connected with God in the world today, since they've tried to kick him out of everything, even in America. But this little incident took place, according to Buzz Aldrin, over 40 years ago. But I want to talk about the text he read, which is, I am the vine and ye are the branches. This is one of the many parables of Jesus, and a parable is a prolonged metaphor. A metaphor states a resemblance. It is a physical story with a spiritual meaning. And I want you to understand that a parable is in the realm of reality. It actually either happened or could happen. Now, a fable is different than a parable. A fable is something fictitious, something that will never happen. I read a fable one time of a man who kissed a frog and he turned into a frog. Well, that'll never happen. That is a fable. and we have many of them in the world. And a fable sometimes takes an inanimate object and turns it into an animate object, or vice versa. It might take an animate object and turn it into an inanimate object, but that never happens. But parables actually happened. Jesus said, a man went forth to sow seed in a field. Well, the Jews understood that he could sow seed in a field, and some fell on stony ground and some on good ground. And then he said, a woman took leaven and put in 3 measures of meal, and after a while the whole lump was leaven. Well, that happened, and women did that, maybe still do. But anyway, a parable is something that actually happens. Someone says, but why did he speak in parables? Well, he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but unto them that is not. And he went ahead to talk about having a heart that could not be penetrated, eyes that will not see, and ears that will not hear. Actually, parables help true believers in Christ to understand the Bible more adequately. They sort of embalm the teaching of the Bible. And to true believers, it is helpful, because it's something that you'd remember longer than maybe the actual thing itself. But to many people, they didn't understand it because they did not have a good attitude. They were not honest. And Jesus said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but unto the dishonest ones it is not. You see? So he gives the reason for revealing or speaking in parabolic language. And he did this during his personal ministry. So, a parable is not a fictitious story, but it is close to reality itself. And the reason was given by Jesus himself. Now, in this, he said, I am the true vine, and ye are the branches. I took the liberty of taking my scissors. I have a grapevine over here in my yard, and it produces grapes, because when the kids are playing over there, they eat the grapes. They like them, and that's fine. It produces a lot of grapes. I took the liberty of cutting off this to illustrate. I hope you can see this. But he said, his father is the husbandman, but he is the true vine, and this long thing is the vine itself, and these little things here are the branches. Now, the fruit grows out on these branches, and Jesus knew that. And so he gave us an illustration. Now, there's something about this that he didn't reveal that some people believe maybe is a part of it, and it is the sap that's in this. You know, they say that during the fall that the sap goes down. I don't know whether that's true or not, but I guess it is. And then along about this time in the spring that the sap arises up in the vine, and it circulates under the bark, and it gives vitality to the branches and also produces fruit. Some have said that maybe is the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. Because without the Holy Spirit, we would be nothing, and therefore both God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit would be revealed in the parable of the vine and the branches. But we know that that sap does circulate under this bark and goes up here and gives it vitality. Jesus promised the Holy Spirit to his apostles, and it abides in us through the Word. So we do have the Holy Spirit today. Now, what Jesus said in this parable, and I'd like to notice what he said, I am the true vine. I'm the true vine. And I like that adjective, true. I've often wondered why he didn't say, I'm just the vine. But that's not what he said. He said, I am the true vine, because they were imitations. They were imitations which were not the real vine. But he said, I am the true one. Well, what did he mean by that? Well, he meant he was the true Messiah. There were false ones. When you take the word true, the antithesis of it is false. Therefore, there would be false Christ. And there were many. And the Jews had to differentiate between the true Christ, the true vine, as it is in our text, and that which is superficial. We call it discernment. One of the greatest things in the realm of religion is the ability on the part of people to discern. And if you cannot discern, you cannot know the truth. Some people do not want to discern between what is true and what is false. A true preacher and a false preacher, when he's really preaching the truth. Are you able to discern it? Someone says, well, I'd have to know the Bible myself to do that. That is correct. You're right about that. I'd have to be like the Bereans who search the scriptures daily to see if these things be so. In order for me to know who's preaching the truth and who's not preaching the truth, Hoagland, you're saying that I've got to know the Bible. That is exactly right. You have got to study the Bible for yourself and think out of the box. Jesus said, now I'm the true vine, and you are the branches. Ladies and gentlemen, may I say to you, in John the 5th chapter, Jesus said, you do search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. But ye will not come unto me that you might have life. He's the true vine, remember. But he says, you Jews won't come to me, but if a man comes in his own name, he said, you'll follow him. That's what he said. He said, you'll follow that false teacher, but he says, why won't you come to me? He says, Moses wrote of me. The prophets talked about me. And he said, if you'd search the scriptures, you would know how to discern and identify me as the true vine or the true Christ. Well, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. And you don't have to be a Solomon to figure this out. If those people had to discern between the true Christ and the false Christ, you're going to have to do the same thing today. You're going to have to discern between true religion and false religion. Jesus says, for in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. There's such a thing as vain worship. Vain worship. When they teach the doctrines of men, and they don't stay within the confines of the Bible. Discernment is absolutely essential. I remember Jesus said to the Pharisees one day, he says, you can discern the weather when it's the sky is red, and you can tell when a rainstorm is going to come up, but he said, you cannot discern in spiritual matters. He said, you can figure out the weather, but you can't figure out the Messiah. That's pitiful. That's pitiful. And some people are good at discerning a lot of things except the religion of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the truth as it is revealed in the Bible, the Word of God. So why did Jesus say, I am the true vine? Why didn't he say, I'm the vine? Why did he use that adjective? Because there are false ones, there are false Christs, and he wanted the people to know that he was the true Christ. And if they didn't come to Christ, they couldn't have salvation. And most of the Jews didn't. They didn't come to him. And you've got to discern today between truth and error, the true church and false churches. You've got to discern between true preachers that are preaching the truth and the ones that are not. And the only way you can do it is to know the book yourself. And if you know the book and you study the book, be like the Bereans. Search the scriptures daily to see if these things be so. You don't take my word for it. You take the word of God for it. You don't take what I say. You study and see if I'm telling you the truth. And if I am, you better obey it. If not, I hope you'll tell me about it. Because I need to straighten up. I sure do. Because I want to go to heaven. I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it's a serious thing not to have discernment. It's important. Very important. And that's what Jesus was talking about when he said, I am the true vine. Now he says, my father is the husbandman. What did the husbandman do? Well, he owned the vineyard. He owned it. And he pruned it and he shaped it up so that it would bring forth more fruit. God knows how to prune. If a branch doesn't bring forth fruit, he says he cuts it off and puts it in the fire and burns it. Well, God is the husbandman. Christ is the true vine. And who are the branches? Well, he said, except a man abide in me, he's cast forth as a branch. Therefore, we, as Christians, are the branches. Most of you have obeyed the gospel. Most of you are Christians. You're one of these branches. And what does God expect you to do? Well, according to this parable, he expects you to bear fruit. But what if I don't bear any fruit? Well, the answer is obvious. Who's going to cut you off? God. What's he going to do with you? He's going to burn you. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means you're going to lose your soul if you don't repent. That's all. That's how simple that is. That's why this is a good parable. It's a great parable. I know of members of the church that just don't bear any fruit at all. But that brings up another question. Someone says, what do you mean by bearing fruit? Now, I know when over here when the grapes get ripe, I know what that is. I can see that. They're grapes. But how does a Christian grow, bear fruit? Well, I'm going to tell you. Number one way he bears fruit is by saving souls. I told you in the class this morning, Paul and Barnabas went to Antioch of Pisidia, went into the synagogue to try to save souls. That's their only purpose. And I tell you what, if you don't get out here and try to save souls, you're not bearing fruit. And by doing that, not only do you save yourself, but you save other people. And you've got to get out here and try to convert people and talk to them about Jesus and talk to them about the gospel and the great sacrifice that Jesus made for their redemption. How that God loved them, as the song said that we sang a few moments ago, because he loved us so, because he loved them. And we love him because he first loved us. And that's how you bear fruit. I told you, I believe, last Wednesday night, or maybe, I don't remember when it was. I asked this question. I said, how many souls have you saved in your life? How many people have you converted? Someone says, I ain't converted anybody. I told you that you could still go to heaven on that. That might shock you. Because you know what God's going to judge you on? He's going to judge you on effort and not results. But he is going to judge you on effort. And I want to tell you, believe it or not, you're bearing fruit when you're out here trying to save souls. Whether you convert them or not. Paul and Barnabas didn't baptize everybody. But they were out there working at it. And I want to tell you, you're bearing fruit when you're working at the job. And if you're working at the job and trying to save souls, whether you convert them, that's up to God. Some people will receive it and some people won't receive it. But if you don't try, you're not bearing fruit. And another way you bear fruit is by doing things for people. You know, Christians are supposed to be sort of like Dorcas, who was full of good works, you remember, in the Bible. Helping people who are in need. You see someone out here that's in need and might be in need of food. It might be that they're sick and they need a word of encouragement. It might be that they need maybe a little financial help once in a while. It might be that they need a lot of things. I believe that is all under the category of the umbrella of a Christian duty. And if you do those things for your fellow man, and especially to your brothers and sisters in the Lord, then you're bearing fruit. You're trying to help your brothers, sisters in the Lord. And if they need to be restored and they've been out of duty and they haven't been coming to church and you get out here and you encourage them, you are bearing fruit. And the Lord's not going to cut you off. He's not going to cast you into the fire. But he said he will do something else for you. He'll prune you that you might bear for more fruit. Someone says, what does that mean? How does God prune me? Well, you may not know how he does it, but God helps those who help themselves, and he'll bring forth opportunities for you to convert these people and to help these people, even if it's something in a humanitarian way or a benevolent way. And in that sense, he's pruning you, and he is giving you the ability to do even more good. You start out maybe with a small measure in helping people, and God then gives you the ability that He prunes you, and you through your experience are able to go out here and convert more people and to help more people. You know why you are able to do that? God pruned you. You may not know how He does it, but He does. He's got a good pair of pruning shears, and He uses them on all of us. He prunes us up. He shapes us up in this vine and branches. See, God knows how to do that. And He goes ahead in this parable and said that you must abide in Me. Now, the word "in" is an important word, and of course, I think He meant abide in Christ or in the vine. The branch has to abide in this. If you cut this branch off, it's not going to produce anything. It has to abide in the vine because that's where it gets its vitality. And the way that you abide in the vine is you obey the gospel and you get into Christ. And unless you get into Him, you're not in the vine. Now, that's through obedience to the gospel. And when a person goes out here and they hear the gospel and they believe that Jesus Christ, Son of God, and they're willing to repent of their sins and to turn away from their sins and confess His name. And then when they're baptized, Romans 6, 3 and 4 says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death?" And so the way that you get into the vine is by being baptized. Now, these other steps are prerequisites. They are necessary. But you don't believe into Him. You believe in Him. But you don't believe into Him. You are willing to repent of your sins toward Christ and confess His name, but you're still not in Christ. The last step that puts you into Christ is the water baptism. That's why Paul says that we're baptized into Christ in Galatians 3, 26 and 27. You're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Jesus Christ have put on Christ. So He tells us more than once that we are baptized into Him. And Jesus said, except you abide in the vine, that is in Christ, you cannot be saved. You've got to get into the vine and then abide in Him. The way you get into Christ is by obeying the gospel. Now, baptism is not the only thing that saves you. It would be false doctrine to teach that. But it's also indispensable with salvation. It takes faith, repentance, confession, and baptism to get you into Christ. And unless you believe before you're baptized, it wouldn't do you any good to be baptized. I had a man to call me this last week. He reads the articles in the paper. He lives down here at Wheeler. He calls me quite frequently. He'd read my article about baptism, and he said he didn't believe that you had to be baptized to be saved. And I asked him, I said, "Do you believe baptism is a command?" And he hesitated. And he finally says, "No, I don't believe it is." Well, I gave him various scriptures where Jesus commanded baptism. And it confused him. I said, "You're saying a man can be saved and not obey the commands of God." But he'd been brought up under a theological doctrine that teaches that we're saved by faith without water baptism. He told me that. He said, "I go to a certain church down here," and said, "I don't agree with the preacher on some things." Now, he said, he thinks you can't fall from grace, but he says, "I believe you can fall from grace." I said, "Well, I do too." But he says, "My church doesn't believe that, and my preacher doesn't believe it." But I said, "You still go there?" And he said, "Yeah." But he said, "I don't agree with him. I don't agree with him." I said, "Well, no, I see that you don't. You can fall from grace. Baptism does put you into Christ. It puts you in this vine." The words pistuo eisteon kuron from the original language means "I believe in the Lord" or "on the Lord," never into Him. But when you come to the verb of motion of baptism, it puts you into Christ. You're baptized into Him. But you couldn't be saved by just baptism only. You know, some people get the idea that in the church we teach all you got to do is just be baptized. That's false. I've never taught that. I don't even believe it. If I took a man into the baptistry here and I baptized him and he didn't believe in the Lord, it would do him absolutely no good. That baptism wouldn't be worth anything. It must be preceded by faith. That's the Bible said. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. In Mark 16:15-16. They say that the gospel is like a double-barrel shotgun. They say one barrel is loaded with salvation and the other barrel is loaded with condemnation. And most of you have seen a double-barrel shotgun. Probably some of you have shot one. Paul says, the Lord says it takes two things to save you. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now that's the barrel that's loaded with salvation. But he that believeth not shall be damned. All that it takes to condemn you is a lack of faith. Now that barrel's loaded with condemnation. You've got to believe in the Lord in order to be saved. You can't be saved without believing. Therefore, if a person is baptized without faith, as we say, he goes down dry and comes up wet, and that's about the end of it. And so there's more to it than just being baptized. It has some prerequisites. And a lot of people don't want to admit this, but we don't teach that all you have to do is just be baptized. If it doesn't have these prerequisites in it, it would do you no good. So that's why you've got not only to believe, you've got to repent of your sins, and then you're inducted into the family of God. You become a part of this vine we're talking about, which I cut over there. This is the vine. And then you become a branch like that. And then last, and I want to talk about this briefly, you've got to abide in the vine. Except ye abide in me. Buzz Aldrin quoted that. Except ye abide in the vine, you cannot be saved. On the moon, as part of what he read out of John 15. And to abide in him means you've got to be faithful unto death. And you don't abide in him if you quit the church and you don't go to church and you don't observe the Lord's Supper and you don't pray and you don't try to save souls. You're not abiding in Christ. You just think you are. You're of no value. You're not bearing fruit. And you're not even abiding in him. And, of course, the Lord said he'd cut you off and put you in the fire. That's what he said. And so this lesson from John 15 is a wonderful one. And even though it was read on the moon, but I'm interested in it being read here on earth to you because it has so many bountiful and wonderful, wonderful lessons in it. That you can be saved through obedience under the gospel of the Lord. If you're here today and you're subject, we hope that you'll abide in this vine. And I've explained to you how that you get into him. We hope you'll come. And if you need to be restored, we hope you'll also come. Shall we stand as we sing our invitation song?